It is more than likely that California will vote on its governor later this year. True, Gavin Newsom is not up for re-election until next year, but people displeased with his performance fired up a recall campaign and have delivered more than enough signatures to put Newsom's fate to a vote. We're just waiting for a signature verification. The nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom at CalMatters has several reporters covering pieces of the recall effort. We have two of them with us today. Ben Christopher, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Hey, good morning.
And Emily Hoven, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange, too.
Thanks for having me.
Now, Emily, I noticed there are other bylines on CalMatters about Governor Newsom. It seems like there's a lot to cover for a lot of reporters at the moment.
There is. I mean, he's running all over the state. You know, this week he was talking about wildfire season happening. Obviously, he was making an announcement earlier this week that he's going to hopefully be able to reopen the state in June if there's enough vaccines and coronavirus hospitalizations remain low. And then there's also this recall campaign that's looming in the distance that he is firing up a campaign to oppose. So he's firing on a lot of different fronts right now, and he's been traveling all across the state talking about reopenings of businesses and schools. So people are going to be seeing a lot of him and him talking about a lot of different topics.
Is there a suspicion among the reporting crews that you're seeing as much of Governor Newsom as you are because of the recall? I mean, there's a lot to talk about, certainly, but...
Yeah, I mean, I think there was a time when, you know, the hospitalizations were worse and the pandemic was kind of in the midst of its most serious phase that he wasn't making as many media appearances. And then when it became more and more clear that the recall was likely going to qualify, he did launch this also national media tour where he was appearing on MSNBC and The View and really making this national media circuit to make sure that he could talk to you know, potential voters, fire up Democratic support around the country. He was making, you know, people were calling it Vaxapalooza, where he was going to different vaccination sites in, you know, a different city, a different county almost every day, different school reopening events that he was holding. So it did seem to sort of accelerate around the time that the recall became in its more serious throes. But I have a feeling that we're going to keep seeing more of him as he tries to fend off this effort.
So, Ben Christopher, bring us up to speed on what the issues are in the recall effort. Who started it and why?
Sure. So, I guess just a little bit of context. Recall efforts in California are not actually all that unusual. They just very rarely get this far. They rarely succeed.
Well, by example, yeah, five times people have mounted recall campaigns against Oregon's governor, but they never got to the ballot.
Well, exactly. So in California, I believe this was actually the sixth attempt to unseat Newsom to that point. And so the organizer, the sort of lead organizer behind the effort initially is a man named Orrin Heatley, the retired sheriff's deputy from Yolo County. And he started this effort back in January 2019. And if you remember the calendar, January was before the pandemic really hit California. And so Heatley's beef with the governor, as stated in the recall petition itself, doesn't have anything to do with the pandemic. It's more of sort of a laundry list of perennial complaints that you hear from conservatives in California about the state's support for undocumented immigrants or homelessness, the governor's moratorium on the death penalty, high taxes, and so forth. And so this recall effort probably would not have gone anywhere except for a few key things happened. One, a Sacramento judge granted Heatley and the campaign an extension on signature gathering because of the pandemic, and so they got a bit more time to gather those signatures. And then, more importantly, you obviously had the pandemic, so you have a much broader array of Californians growing very frustrated with the governor. And then, of course, the governor infamously went to dinner with lobbyists at the
French Laundry incident. Yes,
the French Laundry gate, and so that really provided just rocket fuel to the signature gathering effort. And there's a certain momentum to it, right? Because a lot of what gets a recall effort to succeed is money, and so you all of a sudden, post French Laundry, you have a lot of high level national Republican groups and individuals thinking, okay, well, maybe there's actually a chance here. People like Mike Huckabee throwing their weight behind it, throwing a lot of money behind the effort. And so here we are.
So, Ben, any doubt that it will go on the ballot?
Well, so Newsom, the recall organizers have submitted 2.1 million signatures, according to their count. As you mentioned at the top, those signatures still have to be certified, verified by county elections officials and the Secretary of State. any campaign that requires signatures, whether it's a recall or an initiative to get something on the ballot, there's always going to be some signatures that are tossed out, either because they're duplicates or because they aren't signed the proper way, or in some cases because they're fraudulent. But the requirement here to get the recall to the ballot is about 1.5 million signatures. So they have 2.1 million. That's a very healthy buffer. So I think most people on both sides of the issue now recognize that we're almost certain to have an election later this year. There is one additional wrinkle: that California law does allow an additional month once the signatures are verified for people who signed the petition to withdraw their petition. So there is this very long shot effort to try and convince people who have signed that, hey, actually, the state's doing a little bit better. Gavin Newsom's not so bad after all. Why don't you pull your signature? But again, there's such a large buffer between the 2.1 million that they have and the 1.5 that they need that, again, I think most people on both sides recognize that this is going to be on the ballot later this year.
Ben Christopher and Emily Hoven, our guests on the Jefferson Exchange, both reporters for the nonprofit, nonpartisan newsroom at Cal Matters, as we talk about the Gavin Newsom recall campaign. Emily, California is weird. This is not a simple stay or go. What else happens in a governor recall?
Yeah, well, there is going to probably be a whole laundry list of people who are going to run against him if it does qualify for the ballot. We've heard, and the requirements to run on the recall ballot are, you know, pretty low, so it's easy for a lot of different people to run. I believe in the last recall election, 2003, there was 135 candidates who ran to replace Gray Davis. So I think we're going to see quite a host of interesting characters materialize for this this election if it happens. And you know, earlier this week, it appeared that Caitlyn Jenner, you know, of the reality TV star, transgender activist, might be running for governor, which would, you know, make for a really interesting race. People have thrown out a lot of different names. I mean, Arnold Schwarzenegger, who actually did win the recall election in 2003, he recently said, you know, to Politico, oh, what if Oprah runs? What if, you know, George Clooney runs? So I think there's all this speculation about people, you know, big name people that could suddenly randomly jump into the race. There are already a number of Republican candidates who have declared their intention to run, but I do think a potential game changer could be if you have someone who has, you know, really big name recognition, their own bankroll, that could potentially make for a very interesting media frenzy around all of this.
Yeah, which is exactly what happened with Schwarzenegger. I went back and looked. Out of those 135 candidates, he managed to pull in 48.6% of the vote. Not a majority, but still enough to win as Gray Davis was removed from office in that recall in 2003. From your perspective, Emily, did the French laundry dinner, is that like the real lever or the fulcrum in the lever at this point? Is that the thing that really made this gain as much momentum as it has gotten?
I do think that was the inflection point. I believe the recall organizer said that after that happened, the amount of people that were rushing to sign petitions increased by an insane amount. You know, as Ben mentioned, the main reason they started this recall campaign had nothing to do with the pandemic at all. But once the pandemic happened, and then once Newsom was sort of seen to be going against his own rules, I think that really frustrated a lot of people, right? I mean, their kids have been out of school. They're not able to go out to eat at restaurants or go to bars. And then they hear, okay, not only is the governor out dieting at a very expensive restaurant and I can't even get my unemployment check, you know, but his kids are also in-person learning and in private schools and might have been able to return in their public schools. So I think that for a lot of people probably just represented the potential hypocrisy they saw in the governor and the ability for him to do things that he was telling them they couldn't do. And I think once that happened, I believe one of the organizers said there's a whole French laundry list of reasons why people are signing, but that was definitely, I think it really symbolized a lot of the frustration for people and really gave them impetus to go out and start gathering. If you are trying to get the governor recalled, it's the perfect example. It kind of sums up in everything what you don't like about him. And the governor has, I think, struggled in the past to come off as relatable to voters. A lot of people have a lot of critics have characterized him as being elitist, you know, and with the price tag of the French Laundry and just the whole image of it, I think they were really able to sell that to potential voters as a reason to sign their name on the recall petitions.
All right, so French Laundry is certainly going to stay a phrase all the way through this campaign. Ben, I read your recent piece on the elements of convincing people to get vaccines in California. Talk about what you've noticed in Newsom's approach to pandemic issues as the recall has become a surer thing.
Sure. Yeah. So, I mean, as Emily mentioned earlier, the governor has been on a whirlwind tour over the last few weeks. And, of course, he would say that that has nothing to do with politics, but that is just simply a fact that it is really important for as many Californians as possible to get vaccinated as quickly as possible. And so he's trying to get the word out. But, of course, there is this this parallel political story unfolding. And so he has been going up and down the state. And, of course, earlier this week, he announced that the state is going to be reopening for business as usual, is the quote that he used. Of course, there's a caveat with that because we don't know what public school situation is going to be like June 15th. But assuming that vaccines supply remains steady and hospitalizations remain low, that's where we are headed. So he's sort of highlighting this light at the end of the tunnel, which, of course, I think there's a feeling on that the governor has and the governor's political team has that the time is really going to work. Time is really going to work to the governor's advantage in the sense that it's unclear exactly when this recall would be, but probably November is the best guess, or October or November. And if that's the case, who knows what the state looks like, what the world looks like in November. But given the trend lines of the pandemic, of the economy, that perhaps by then the hope is that the state is going to be in a much better place.
Gavin Newsom is the governor of California, up for recall potentially this year. We're just waiting for signature verification to confirm that there could be a vote. And then, as you heard from Ben Christopher from Cal Matters, there's also the 1 month for people to consider withdrawing their signatures. Ben and Emily Hoven from Cal Matters are guests here on the Jefferson Exchange. Emily, you had a big piece recently about a possible fourth wave, which could certainly work not just against the people of California, but certainly against the political fates of Gavin Newsom. What are the numbers at the moment, and what are the suspicions about where the trends are headed?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's a lot of good news for California. I believe the case positivity rate, you know, over the past 7 days is the lowest it's been in the state's history during the pandemic. And obviously, more and more people are getting vaccinated. At the same time, there is this anxiety about these different variants that are popping up in the state, and those numbers are increasing. I don't know at how worrisome a rate, but I think their presence at all is just, you know, creates a lot of anxiety for experts who say if people are not able to get vaccinated quickly enough, or if there is not herd immunity and these variants continue to spread, people could still get infected. It could potentially be, you know, more harmful versions of the virus. The hospitalizations could go back up, and, you know, and then we're going to have to develop another vaccine. So there's a lot of different concerns around that. And, you know, I think for the governor, when he made the announcement this week that we could reopen the state in a couple of months, that's a pretty big move because he cannot predict necessarily what's going to happen in the next 2 months. And I think, you know, he's banking on the fact that people are going to get vaccinated and, you know, things are going to get better. But there is always that possibility, and the pandemic has been somewhat unpredictable over the past year, that things could get worse. And, you know, he did leave room for that in his announcement, sort of saying, you know, if things get bad, we may have to reinstate certain, you know, measures to close certain things down. That's a pretty big political risk for him, because if he has to do that, and as Ben was saying, timing is everything, you know, and if it turns out that things start getting bad again in the summer, which happened last year, last summer was one of the worst peaks before the winter. So if something like that were to happen again, it could really put his political future on the line. But as of now, things are looking okay, but there is concern because in other parts of the country, they're having to shut down again. Different countries are shutting down again. There's curfews, you know, in France and other countries. And so I do think that's a sign that we're not all out of this yet. You know, other parts of the world are undergoing another surge, and it could potentially happen again in California.
Well, Ben mentioned the schools, that they're still sort of up in the air about what happens with them as of June 15th. And masks, I understand the mask mandate, he didn't say anything about taking that off, did he?
Yeah, the mask mandate is still in place. And I think, you know, of course, maintaining social distancing, hand washing, all of the things that experts have been saying throughout the pandemic, all of those things are in place. And for me, I'm always wondering, you know, it's almost, I can't even, in a way, like, remember what it was like to go to the grocery store without a mask on. And so I'm just curious, you know, in our cultural consciousness, once this has passed, if people are still going to, you know, be wearing masks when they go out. I feel like for me, it's just like second nature now to like have a mask in my hand and sanitizer in my car. And it will just be interesting to see how all of us move out of this as a group. In terms of schools, I think that is definitely the big question mark, right? Because the June 15th date, that's really soon. So people are optimistic about, okay, I can finally, you know, go back to concerts and do this and do that. And then for a lot of parents, they're like, hey, that date is after the date of the end of the school year. And so there was some frustration that I've seen among parents and critics online saying, hey, why did he pick that date? Like, that was an easy date for him to pick because it allows him to sort of sidestep the question of forcing schools to reopen. And there are numerous districts that are just not even going to reopen at all for in-person instruction this year. And some of them are reopening in these hybrid models where, you know, kids are back in school for maybe a couple of hours a week, but they're still learning online in the schools. And so I do think that is actually going to be something that the governor is going to have to confront in this recall. I do believe a lot of parents I've talked to, their memories are very long on this. You know, they're not going to, I think many of them are not going to forget, my kid lost a whole year of learning and they've, you know, endured a lot of mental and emotional stress. Maybe they've regressed in certain aspects. Like it's going to be hard for their kids to make that up. And I do think that for a lot of parents, that still potentially could be in their minds when they go to the ballot box.
Now, Ben, as far as the political calculus goes, does Newsom have the support of California Democrats? Are they solidly behind him?
So if you look at polls, he's in a fairly comfortable position. A majority of Californians, at least in the most recent poll from the Public Policy Institute of California, found that a majority of Californians do not support the recall. Vast majority of Democrats are behind the governor. It's a little bit more split between independents. Republicans are not. Generally do support firing the governor prematurely. Right. But, of course, California is an overwhelmingly Democratic state. And so you actually kind of see how that math plays out in the messaging that you see on both sides of the recall. The anti-recall folks are really doing their best to try and present the recall effort as a purely Republican effort aligned with the most conservative, the most Trump-aligned forces of the Republican Party. And I think if they are able to sort of successfully characterize the recall as aligned or associated with the former President Trump, with the Republican Party, their feeling is that they're going to have a pretty easy time fending it off just because, again, this is a very Democratic state. President Trump only got about a third of the vote in the last two elections, and Republican Party registration is sort of tied with no party preference. It's almost like a third party status in the state. In contrast, you have the recall campaign really trying to stress that this is not purely a Republican effort, mm-hmm. although, of course, the money and the organizers are all Republican.
Okay. So Ben, I need to wind this up. So one final question. Any idea when we're going to hear about if there were enough signatures verified?
So we will see in the next few weeks. I don't have the calendar right in front of me, but we should know fairly soon by the end of the month.
All right, Ben Christopher, Emily Hoven from Cal Matters, thanks so much for joining us on The Exchange.